15th chapter of Luke's Gospel, and just the first two verses. Luke chapter 15 and verse 1, "Then drew near unto him all the publicans, and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." Publicans drew near to him. This is one of the most surprising statements to me. Most amazing statements I think I've ever read. I've often thought of this passage and meditated upon it in my heart, and I think probably this is the most amazing statement that we can find in the New Testament regarding sinners. The publicans drew near to him. Sometimes I earnestly feel like that I need to apologize to you, to my neighbors, to everybody that I preach to God especially, that I have not preached Jesus Christ as he preached himself. I have not preached him as gracious and merciful and loving as he preached himself. I preach, and seldom you'll find one or two begin to seek the Lord. I preach Christ as clearly as I know, but you'll have one here or one there come seeking the Lord. When Jesus Christ preached himself, they all came. All the publicans came, and the scripture says they drew near to hear him. I wish I could preach him as he preached himself. Surely if I could, more would be desirous of him. Here, publicans and sinners approached unto him. They weren't repulsed by him. They felt welcome to come to him. And they came near to him and heard his word. And what's amazing to all of us, this was the Son of God. Came down from heaven, from the very presence of God and of angels. Took to himself our humanity, and the Bible says he was holy, he was harmless, he was undefiled, and separate from sinners. He was truly a holy man, knew no sin, did no sin, had no sin. And here the chief of sinners felt free to approach unto him. That's an amazing statement, is it not? I've had people that looked upon me in some sort of a weird way because I was a preacher, and they said, "I feel so unworthy to be in your presence." Almost made me sick. But here was a truly holy man. Here was the God man. And sinners came near to hear his word. That's amazing to me. Astounding to me. And I'm not going to be so naive this morning to tell you that these publicans and sinners were nice, hard-working people that did a few bad things, but they really had a good heart. They weren't that way at all. These publicans were scoundrels. They were cheats. They were defrauders. They got rich on the back of poor people. They were tax collectors for an oppressive government, the Roman government. Hard them to collect taxes from their Jewish brethren. And the more taxes they collected, the richer they got. And some of them were really, really filthy rich. They weren't honest men. They didn't do a few good things but had bad things but had good hearts. They were sinners, the worst of sinners in the whole nation of Israel. And these sinners that he's speaking about here, the publicans and sinners, I'm telling you, they were some bad people. Remember one that had seven devils? and she came to him. I just wonder what that woman was like if you stood and talked to her. What would you be thinking if you had seven devils? What would your whole attitude be? What would you be saying if you had seven devils? I wouldn't want that lady for a neighbor, would you? And yet she came to Christ. She drew near and heard the Savior. There was another lady, we're told, that she was taken in adultery in the very act. They found her laying with some woman's husband. May have been your husband if you'd have been in that day. How would you have felt about that woman? Would you have thought, well, she's done a few bad things, but at heart she's good. How many homes did that woman break up? How much grief did she cause among husbands and children and neighbors? She was a sinner, an adulterous woman, and she came to Christ, and He saved her. When you read the Scripture, we find all kinds of sinners, the most vile, deceived persons that you can imagine. We're told thieves came. We're told murderers came. We're told drunks, adulterers, liars, abusers of themselves, blasphemers. Sinners approached unto Him and heard His word. And I say that's amazing to me. That's wonderful. I think probably it's the deep things of God, don't you? You know, the love of Jesus Christ is manifested in so many different ways. Sarah sang about that this morning. I know the chiefest way is that He's hanging there on the cross, bearing the guilt and the shame for His people. He loved me and gave Himself for me. But I'm telling you, receiving these sinners, that's love, isn't it? That is love. And it's amazing for this reason. Them drawing near to hear His word, to hear His gospel, threatened their sins. Hearing Him put an end to their sins. They had lived in sin, they had loved sin all their life. But when they drew near to hear the Savior, one thing you can bet, that put a stop to their evil lifestyle. And I'm not going to be so naive to stand up here and say that these men were living a lifestyle that they really didn't like anyway. They loved the sinful lifestyle. They loved darkness rather than light. And this is the amazing thing. When they come to hear the Lord Jesus Christ, they finally realize He's going to put a stop to my lifestyle. He's going to put a stop to my sinning against heaven. And yet they drew near anyway. Ain't that amazing? They knew His word was against their sin, but they wanted to hear it anyway. They knew His holy person was against their sins, but they wanted to hear Him anyway. He was holy and they were sinners, awful sinners. And yet they drew near to hear His word. They'd sometimes listen to Him and guilt would overwhelm their conscience. It would so smite their minds they couldn't sleep when they went home, and yet they weren't repulsed by Him. They drew near to hear His word. Can you imagine the conversation between some of these publicans when they got together and talked to each other? And one of them would say to the other something like this. He'd say, "You know, I used to love what I did. I love cheating people. Well, I love making this money. But you know, lately, my conscience has been hurting me. I used to be, I could go to bed and sleep so well, but now my sin is bothering me. I'm not satisfied in this sinful life anymore. I don't want to live in my sins. I don't want to die and face God in my sins." And the other would say, "Yeah, I feel the same way. I don't know what's going on inside of me, but I know something's changing. I'm sick of sin. My soul's sick of sin." Can you hear them saying that to each other? And you know what they said? "Let's go hear this Jesus of Nazareth. He's got a message. Let's go hear Jesus of Nazareth." When did this When did this verse begin? You know the scripture tells us when this verse began. We're told here in our text, then drew near to him all the publicans and sinners to hear him. And we're told specifically when they first heard. I want you to look back here in chapter 5. Chapter 5, Luke's Gospel, chapter 5. Here's where this first began to set up a desire in their hearts to hear the Lord Jesus Christ preach and to draw near to him. Look back here in verse 27 of Luke's Gospel, chapter 5. Here's where the Lord saved his first publican that we're aware of. His name was Levi, which was Matthew. Look at it in verse 27. Luke 5:27. And after these things, our Lord Jesus, he went forth and saw a publican named Levi, that's Matthew, sitting at the receipt of customs. He was collecting taxes. That was his job. Made good money off of that. Cheated people. I mean, they intimidated people to death. If you didn't pay the taxes they wanted, they had papers from the Roman government. They were employed by Caesar. All they had to do is take it to the Roman soldiers and say, this guy over here won't pay the taxes that I demand him pay. They would go over there, intimidate the guy, or arrest him. These guys had all kinds of authority. People feared them and people hated them. And here he sat at the receipt of customs and probably very satisfied with sitting there, collecting those taxes and making big bucks when he did it. And look what happened. Jesus said unto him, follow me. Follow me. What happens when Christ speaks this way? You may hear my voice, and it won't affect you at all. You can go out of here and continue on in the lifestyle that you're living. But I'm telling you, if you hear the voice of the Son of God, it will change you. That will subdue you. Where the words of the King is, there is power. And when he said to Matthew, follow me. But he didn't hesitate a minute. See what he said in verse 28? And he left all and rose up and followed him. He left everything. He left all of his list that he had. He left his money. He left his job. And ain't this amazing thing? Who did he follow? He followed a poor man. He followed a man that had no place to lay his head. He followed a man who had been ridiculed and scorned and blasphemed by the Pharisees and scribes. And you, he left everything and said, I'm following him. I'm following him. Ain't that amazing? That's what we need today, is it not? We got preachers trying to talk sinners into a decision for Jesus, and we need Jesus to speak power to the hearts of sinners and say, follow me. Follow me. And he left all, rose up, and followed him. I want you to notice in verse 29, look how rich this man must have been. And Levi made him a great feast. I don't know what that cost, but can you imagine? If you go to the grocery store today and you're going to provide a feast for a bunch of people, can you imagine the money you're going to spend? Several hundred dollars, at least. And he made a great feast. And look at this. In his own house, he had a house. How few people had houses in this day? They were poor people. They couldn't afford houses. They rented or slept in tents or wherever they could stay. He had a house. And notice how big the house was. And there was a great company of publicans and others that sat with him. He had enough room in his house that he could set a whole company of publicans and others. That's how rich this man was. And look in verse 30. And the scribes and Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, why do you eat and drink with publicans and sinners? That's all these Pharisees did. They started out complaining against his disciples. Why does your master sit and eat? And why are you guys eating with these publicans and sinners? In our text in the 15th chapter, they said this about Christ. Why does He receive sinful men? Why? They just murmured about everything. Even the Lord Jesus Christ in His fullness of grace could not please these sorry Pharisees and scribes. Nothing could please them. They murmured about everything. I come down from heaven. They murmured and say, "You eat from heaven." He said, "I'm going to give you my flesh to eat." They murmured and said, "You can't give us your flesh to eat. You can't satisfy people." Don't worry, brothers and sisters. If you have trouble satisfying somebody, Christ Himself could not satisfy everybody. And then the Lord Jesus Himself speaks. And here's what He said to these publicans. And I'm just saying, here is where this desire began in their hearts. Something He said lit a fire in their hearts that finally overwhelmed them and said, "I've got to go hear Him again. I've got to hear His voice. He's got something that appeals to me. It just suits me." And what is it? Jesus answered and said unto them, "They that are whole, they that are healthy, need not a physician, a doctor, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." They'd never heard a message like this in their life. The Lord Jesus said, "I'm not come for the righteous. I'm not come for people who are well and whole. I'm a physician. That's my name. I'm a doctor. I have come to this world in that capacity to heal the sin-sick soul. That's why I'm come." And He says, "You, I've come to grant repentance. I've come to give a man repentance. When a man turns to me with a broken heart and he begins to wonder, is there hope? Can there be forgiveness with God?" He said, "I'm come to let you know, yes, there is. I grant repentance." Matthew, in his account, adds something to this. In the 9th chapter of Matthew, when Matthew himself is telling about this, he adds this. The Lord Jesus tells them that, "I've come to make the sick whole." Then He says, "Go learn what that means. I'll have mercy and not sacrifice." And that's what He told these publicans. He said, "I'm a physician. I come to heal your sin-sick soul. I've come to bind up the brokenhearted and heal your wounds." The crushed spirit that Wayne talked about this morning. He's near them of a broken heart. And He saves those who are of a crushed spirit. And He said, "I've come to show you mercy. It's mercy that you need. And I've come to show you mercy." And boy, there's something about this that went home to their heart. And they started thinking about this. And they'd go home and they'd think to themselves, "Boy, that's not like what the Pharisees been telling us. The Pharisees been telling us reformation, reformation, reformation. You need to reform your life. You just need to do better. You've been eating too much. Start fasting twice a week. You've been spending too much money on yourself. Take some and put it in the treasure. Stop doing all these bad things and start doing all these good things. Reformation." And can you imagine these poor publicans trying that? And they just reformed and they watched the Pharisees, and the Pharisees taught them. And man, they're trying to lay aside all the bad things they were doing and start doing a bunch of good things. And they realize, "My heart is filthy still. I'm a miserable man. All I'm doing is putting on a show." That's what the Pharisees were telling them. "What you guys need to do is start praying on the street corners. Let people realize you're not ashamed to do that. And when you go to give money into the treasure, take a big sack and pay somebody a couple dollars to sound the trumpet before you so that let the world see how holy looking you are. Let them see how religious you are. Put on a show." And the poor publicans just finally realized that's all it is a show. And then they heard this message about mercy. They heard this message about healing your sin-sick soul and coming to me. You want repentance? You want acceptance of God? Come to me. I've got everything you need. And they said, man, that's what I need right there. That's a message I want. And that's why we see in our text, they came near to Him. Right here's where it began. They'd never heard a message like this. They'd never heard a man like this. And then we come back over to our text. And you can read it at your leisure sometime. When they approached unto Him here. Here these Pharisees was starting murmuring again. And the Lord Jesus preached this wonderful message to them. He preached this wonderful message to these publicans. He talked about being lost. And then being found. Here's where He spake these parables about the shepherd losing the sheep. And he said, that's the way I am. I'm the shepherd. And I lose one sheep and I go until I find it and I lay it around my neck. And I kiss it and I hug it and take it back to the fold. And this old publican said, that's me. That's me. I'm the lost sheep. Oh, shepherd, find me. Please find me. And then you had your woman with coins, and she lost a coin, and she swept the house until she found it, and she's so happy she calls her friends and said, come rejoice with me. And that old publican said, oh, that's what I am. I'm a lost coin. Oh, Lord Jesus, find me, find me. And then you have a prodigal son, the wayward son. He leaves home, and he goes down into the hog pen and spends all his money, wastes his life. And he comes home. And the father said, this my son was dead and he's alive. He's lost and he was found. And he got all the servants together and they begin to rejoice and make merry. And what the Lord Jesus is telling these publicans and what He's telling these Pharisees, the greatest delight of my heart is to save sinners. To have mercy upon sinners. To heal the brokenhearted sinners. That's why I came. See why this is so appealing to my heart? Because I'm a publican. I'm a crushed sinner. I want the Lord Jesus to pour His sweet balm into my soul and heal it. You feel that way? If He ever showed you that you're a publican, you'll never get over it. You'll be a publican till you die. And you'll be drawing near to Him. That's our old trouble today, isn't it? We preach Jesus to people who don't want Him. We've offered Him to people who could care less. And what we need today is for the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of promise, to open people's hearts to make them feel their need of the Savior. That's what we need, brothers and sisters. Nothing else is going to do us any good. Look in the 18th chapter. Two more places that is Luke. I love the way Luke gives us the history of these publicans. He starts all the way back in chapter 5 where Matthew called them together to hear the Lord Jesus preach for the first time. And then in the 15th chapter, he tells us they all drew near to hear the Lord. And then here in the 18th chapter, he tells us what the ultimate conclusion was. Look here in the 18th chapter and go all the way back up to verse 9. This is a very familiar passage, but it's part of the context of what we're looking at this morning. Luke 18 and verse 9. And Jesus spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous, and they despised others. Well, if you think you can establish a righteousness that God will accept you in, you're going to look down on everybody else. Nobody's going to live up to your standards. You're better than everybody. And the Lord Jesus is preaching this parable here to those who trusted in themselves. And here's what he said. Two men went up to the temple to pray. The one was a Pharisee and the other one of those publicans. And the Pharisee stood and prayed with himself like this. God, I thank thee. I'm not like other men are. I don't live like they do. I'm not ungodly. I'm not an extortioner. I'm not an unjust man. Everything I do is right and it's just. I've never sinned. I'm not an adulterer. I'm not like this publican at all. And here's some things that I do that's good. I fast twice in a week. I give tithes of everything that I possess. And that was his grounds for being righteous before God. Well, it's pretty easy if that's all there is to it. If you can do these few things and earn a righteousness before God that He will accept you in, go ahead and do it. If that's all there is to it, go ahead and do it. But what about loving God with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul and all your strength? Has anybody besides Christ did that? What about loving your neighbor as yourself? Who'd you work for last week? Who'd you go buy groceries for last week? Yourself. But that's what they said. We've done these few things, and man, we're righteous before God. God's going to accept us. He looks upon us, and He's going to plead. And there was this publican. Look what he did. The person we've been talking about this morning that drew near to hear the Lord. The publican, standing afar off there in the temple, wouldn't him lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, he smote upon his breast, saying, God be merciful to me, the sinner. Where did he get this idea that there was mercy for such a person as he was? Remember the first time Christ preached to them? Go learn what that means. I'll have mercy. Now this has got into his heart. And he's beginning to believe it. And Satan whispers to him, no, you're too bad. And you've done so many bad things, God will never forgive you. And he says, what about that message that I heard Jesus Christ himself preach? I come to have mercy, mercy, mercy. So he got into his heart. He began to smite his breast, saying, Lord, I need healing. It's here's my problem. Here's not my problem. Here's not my problem. Here's not my problem. Here is our problem. We're sin sick. It's our heart. And only the great physician can help us. Lord, heal my heart. Pour your oil into my soul. Save me, Lord. Save me. Have mercy upon me. What happened? In verse 14 here, this man went down to his house justified. Ain't that amazing how quickly it happened? I often tell people, I've heard people say, I've been seeking the Lord for 10 years. He hasn't saved me. I just don't believe that, brothers and sisters. I'm sorry. I just don't believe that. I think probably there's ignorance there. Somebody's not presented Jesus Christ to you. You just don't find that in the Scriptures. When men truly come to the Lord Jesus Christ, almost always He saves them. And this man went up to the temple and he was condemned. He was guilty before God. And he said, be merciful, be propitious to me, the sinner. Forgive my sins, wash me. And immediately, God justified him. Immediately. I'm not going to tell you to go home and pray. I shouldn't tell you that. I tell you what I should tell you. If you're here this morning and you're without Christ, I'm telling you, look right now to Him. Give yourself up this very instant to Him without any delay. And you'll probably see how quickly He'll receive you and justify you from your sins. That's usually how quick He works, isn't it? Not so with these Pharisees. Well, no. You've got to start at the bottom and work your way up. And when you get up here, then you're saved. This man started from down here. and the Lord saved him down here. God be merciful to me, a sinner. Okay. God forgive all my sins. Okay. God save me. Okay. And he went down to his house justified. And what the Lord Jesus said here, rather than the other. You notice how the Holy Spirit said that? He didn't say he went down to his house more justified than the other. He went down to his house justified rather than the other one. Here was this self-righteous man establishing his own righteousness before God, and he went down to his house lost and condemned and under the wrath of God. The good-looking man, the holy-looking man, the self-righteous man went to his house condemned, and as far as we know, went to hell. And here was the sinner, the ungodly, that came and humbled himself, and the Lord saved him. And he's in heaven today. You say, Bruce, how can you be sure of that? Well, several scriptures I could probably quote to you. But there's one that's very familiar. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 29, those he justified, he also what? Glorified. He justified this man, and he's glorified him. He's with the Lord right now, his spirit, his soul, and he's waiting for the coming of the Lord to do that for his body. When God justifies a man, the next step is glorifying him. You know, heaven is populated with publicans who believed in Jesus Christ. And I'm going to feel so comfortable there. Spurgeon used to tell, he had a sense of humor, and he used to tell about, he told one time, he said, your eyes stand outside the door of heaven. And he says, here comes the great prophets. He said, I don't dare go in with them. And here comes the great apostles. Oh, I'd be ashamed to follow them in. You know who he waited for? That thief on the cross. I'll go in with him, he said. I'll follow him in. I'll feel right at home with him. And when we get to heaven and we bow before our Lord Jesus Christ to worship him with undimmed eyes and an unsinning heart, we're going to feel right at home, because heaven is full of publicans that heard him here, and they're going to worship him yonder. Look back over at our text one more time. And I've got one more text to show you. Sometimes the enemies of the Lord can preach the gospel just as clearly as any God-called preacher. And look here what they said in our text in the 15th chapter in verse 2. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured against the disciples, murmured against them. This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Isn't that an amazing statement? This man receiveth sinners. Man, what a message. I preached a message on that one time. He receiveth sinners. Is that the truth? Oh, well, don't you imagine the old publican standing there, and he was sort of doubtful about it all? And here this Pharisee was, said, he received sinners. And he got a hold of the Pharisee's words. And he said, all right then, I'm coming. I'm coming. He received sinners. Never a greater truth has been preached than these Pharisees preached. Sinners, Jesus will receive. Sound the message far and near. He'll receive sinners. And he sups with them, doesn't he? One more passage of Scripture. Look back over in the 19th chapter quickly. I bet you the Lord never said it there, but I bet you he said it in the 18th chapter. But I bet you as these Pharisees were sitting and listening to him, I bet they kept thinking in their minds, he's saying I'm lost. Can't you just... I've had discussions with people. I never said a thing about you're lost or you're saved or anything. just talking to them about the Word of God. And they'll say, "You're saying I'm lost. You're saying I'm lost. I never said that. It must have been the Word that told you you were lost." And I just know these Pharisees were saying, "He's telling us we're lost." What kind of person are you? Could I ask you, everybody in this morning, could I ask you that question? What kind of person are you? I mean, when you get alone, just thinking of yourself, what kind of person are you really? Are you a person that one of these pretty, you look good, you feel good about yourself? You present yourself to society as a very good and holy person. You say to yourself, "I see that fellow over there doing all this stuff. I'd never do that. I heard what that guy said. I would never say that." What do you really think of yourself this morning? You think you're doing a pretty good job? When God looks upon you in and of yourself, you say, "Yeah, I think He's pretty pleased with me. You know, I've been professing now for a long time." What kind of person are you? Are you self-condemned? Have you judged yourself? Do you say within your own heart, "If He marks one iniquity against me, I'm doomed forever"? I see sin mixed with everything I do. I'm a sinner. I'm a real sinner. What do you really think about yourself this morning? Are you a Pharisee? Or are you a publican? What has God taught you about yourself? Has He left you to yourself to think good of yourself? Or has He humbled you and showed you your sin and your need of mercy? What do you really think about yourself? When you get alone, what do you really, in the depths of your soul, in the bottom of your heart, what's your opinion of yourself? Christ receiveth sinful man, but nobody else. Nobody else. Ain't that so? That's why I asked you this question this morning. What has God taught you about yourself? Are you a sinner? Are you the chief of sinners? Has He taught you that? And the longer you're on the way following Him, do you see more and more of your sinful self? Instead of getting proud and thinking well of yourself, do you sometimes think, "I wonder if I can even be saved, I'm so bad"? This is the most amazing text I think I could ever take and preach to anybody. This man receiveth sinners. Because the closer you are with Him, the more wretched you see yourself to be. And it begins the place where He so humbles you and so crushes you, you're amazed that He would receive you. And that He could love you and save you and keep you. He receiveth sinners, but nobody else. Nobody else. I don't care if you're an Armenian. I don't care if you're a Calvinist. I don't care if you're a Democrat or Republican, right or left. He receives nobody but sinners. Self-condemned sinners. That's what makes Him so wonderful a Savior. That's His office. Before He came into this world, God said, "I've already named Him. His name shall be called Jesus, for He shall save His people." He saves nobody else but His people. He saves nobody else but sinners. And He saves them from their sin. What kind of person are you? I had a man to tell me one time, he said, "Bruce, if I believe what you believed, I just live like the devil." That's what he said. "I just live like the devil." I never got a chance to tell him. I was too embarrassed. We were in the church service. But later I really wanted to tell him, how do you know how you'd live since you don't believe what I'm telling you? How do you know? When the Lord saved that publican, justified that publican, how did that publican live? He changed his heart, and we've gotten an example of it in the 19th chapter. Very familiar passage. Look at it. The 19th chapter of Luke, and look at verse 1. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans. And he was rich. He was rich. All of them was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was. He wanted to draw near. That's what they were doing. And he could not for the press because he was little of stature. I bet you Gene's got a song about that. Do you, Gene?
Yes.
Little fella. And he ran before and climbed up to a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. There's that voice, isn't it? Remember the first publican he called, Matthew, said, follow me. What happened? He left all and followed him. Here's the last publican we're told about that was saved in this gospel. And he says, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. And what did he do? In verse 6, he made haste and came down. When Jesus calls a publican, you know what he does? He brings him down. Somebody said, you don't need to think bad of yourself. Think well of yourself. Forgive yourself. That's not what he teaches you. When he says, Greg, come down, Greg comes down. He comes down in his own estimation. He comes down in his own opinion of himself. He's a wretch. He's a miserable wretch. He comes down and to the dust. That's what happens when the Lord calls a publican. He humiliates him. He brings him low. He makes him humble. The most humble person you'll ever see is a publican whom the Lord Jesus Christ has saved. That's what I love about some of you. You ain't got a good thing to say about yourself. You don't. I've talked to many of you. You don't have a good thing to say about yourself. I'd rather be among a few like this, a few publicans this morning that the Lord has saved, than a whole stadium full of Pharisees that brag on themselves. Humble people. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. And that's what he did. That's the first thing. That's when grace first begins to show itself. You're brought low. That old proud look and that old proud voice and that old proud actions. Someone was telling about this wretch in town that the Lord saved him and said his dog even noticed it. He quit kicking his dog. I'm unworthy. I can't even kick my dog anymore. Sit down beside my dog, but I ain't going to kick you. And look at this. He made haste and came down and received him joyfully. You know something? This happens every time when Christ receives a sinner. That sinner turns right around and receives Christ back. He receives sinful man, and this is what happens. When he receives a publican, the publican turns right around and says, I receive you too. Christ receives us in all our sins and justifies us and forgives us. And the old publican said, I receive everything you are, Lord. Your glorious person, all your finished work on my behalf, my access to the Father's presence, heaven at last, everything, I receive you all. And you do it joyfully, just like this man did. And look at this in verse 7. And when they saw it, look at this, all murmured, saying that he had gone to be a guest with a man that was a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto him, Lord, behold, the half of my goods I give to the poor. That's generous, isn't it? When the Lord Jesus saves a publican, I tell you what's the truth, brothers and sisters, he makes him generous. You give and you don't even think about how much you're giving. half of my goods? What a miracle of grace took place in this man's heart. He wouldn't have given a dime. But now he said half of it. Right off the top. And if I've taken anything but false accusations, I'm going to restore him fourfold. That's what grace does. So don't tell us, well, the Lord, you're talking about the Lord just saving these publicans and leave them in their sin. No, he doesn't say that. He saves them from their sins and he humbles them. He makes them humble and gentle and generous and kind and forgiving. One more passage of Scripture, and I want you to turn to it. Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7. I bet you, when these old publicans begin to join the church, don't you just know what a... I mean, they couldn't look down on nobody, could they? You had all the trouble in the Corinthian church and about them judging each other, and the Galatians started doing it. I bet you these old publicans never did that. When the Lord saved them, I bet they just kept thinking, man, I can't judge anybody. I'm the worst fellow in the church. I'm the sorriest man here. And he just looked over the people's faults. If he saw you falling, he'd come and help you up. If you sinned against him, he'd forgive you. That's the way publicans are when the Lord saves you. And boy, here is one of the most amazing things. And when you and I pillow our heads, our dying head, and our eyes begin to close, here in the 7th chapter of Acts, here's where Stephen had preached that great message. In verse 54, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart. They were furious. And they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly to heaven. And he saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God the Father. And he said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And witnesses lay down their clothes at a young man's feet, another Pharisee whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Here's a wonderful thing, brothers and sisters. If Christ has received you and saved you, when it comes time to pillow your dying head, He's going to receive you into His presence. He ain't going to receive you, then cast you away. And Stephen knew that. Lord Jesus, receive. You've already received me. You already forgive me. Lord, now I'm coming. Receive me. I've got no power to bring myself up to receive me. And verse 60 he said, and he knelt down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep in Jesus. Father, we thank you. Oh, what a great Savior you've sent us. What a faithful Savior you've sent us. You've made us so willing and so happily to accept what we are. We're not trying to put on a front before you or others. You've made us to know what we are. And you save us just like we are. We come to you just like we are. And you save us. And you give us new hearts and new spirits. And we bless you for it. You're just the Savior we need. You've got the message we need. We need nothing else. Thank you for this dear people this morning that are so kind to sit and listen. Lord, would you be pleased to take this message, though it came from such weak lips, such an earthly frame. This is the way you've ordained to save, and it's the way you've ordained to establish your people by the preaching of your gospel. Oh, use your gospel now. Use this message for your own namesake, for your glory, and the good of those that are here this morning. In Jesus Christ our Lord's name, amen. Let me make